Hey there, and welcome to another Radio Fishing with Fish and Frank. And it is December 17th, 2013. Another great day to go fishing, and we got a special guest appearance today by Captain Rhett Morris. I think you're going to enjoy this. Rhett got back in on a charter yesterday. He's taking a little well-deserved time off. And good afternoon, Rhett. How you doing, buddy?
Doing great, Fish and Frank. How about you?
Oh, man. Couldn't be better if I was twins, you know? Everything's kind of going good. You know, it's funny. I've been waiting to get a chance to get you here, you know. And I got to tell you, our studio audience, they just love you. Look, I mean, all these people out here in the audience, they're just going crazy. I mean, we have Rhett here today. So, anyway, as a crowd, come on, guys. Everybody settle down. Settle down. Yeah, we got to get back to the interview. Okay. So, so you did a charter yesterday. What was going on? What was the fish of the day?
We were primarily fishing for snook in the Caloosahatchee River, near the mouth of the Caloosahatchee River, and we did really well. We had over two dozen fish between 28 and 32 inches that were all hitting soft baits, anywhere from paddle tail jigs to just regular jerk baits with a straight tail, mostly root beer color and gold flake.
Oh, man. So, when you're working these jigs, now you're using the paddle tails, the 4-inch paddle tails, like the DOA Cal Shad type stuff. Whatever brand you use, that's fine, but I'm just trying to make a point of reference. Now, we were talking about them the other day, and I really like those 4-inch paddle tails for snook and all these other fish. How do you do the retrieve on yours? What's the key point on getting that retrieve down?
Well, the retrieve has more to do with the water temperature than anything. So when we get out there, first thing in the morning, the water was in the low 60s, and we started fishing our paddle tails much slower, closer to the bottom, a lot less fast movements, more slow and deliberate movements, and we were getting good strikes with that. But as the sun got hotter and the water temperature warmed up closer to 70, they wanted a much faster retrieve with more erratic movement in it because their metabolism was speeding up and their body temperature was rising with the water temperature, and they were definitely wanting a more aggressive movement on the bait to, you know, pull the strike.
Adapt and overcome. You got to start one way in the morning, work your way up. Now, when you bring them in, are you keeping your rod tip low and giving it just pulls, or are you giving lifts to it? Are you making the bait hop, or are you darting it?
I dart the bait. We were darting the bait in the afternoon by keeping the tip low and just, you know, sort of a sweeping motion to really make a lot of movement. An erratic movement, and in the morning we had the tips high, just twitching along the bottom, very slow, sometimes just a straight retrieve with hardly any twitching, but always having the rod tip high just for better sensitivity.
So now you've been doing this a long time, about almost as long as I've been doing this. I mean, I remember you coming in here years ago when both of us were young. So how many years you been at this now?
Well, I've been trying to catch a snook in this harbor since 1984. Caught my first one in 84 and realized then that was going to be my life's passion.
So how old were you then?
8 years old.
8 years old, yeah. I was, no, I'm not going to tell you how old I was. I'm starting to be able to scrape dinosaur stuff off of me at this point. But, yeah, that's cool. Because like I said, I remember you as a young man, you know, little kid actually.
Yeah.
Coming in here as a very young person. And so you've been chartering for what, 10, 15 years now? 15
years. It's been, I've started my business officially with a license in 96 and had passed the test in 95 and was running trips on the weekends in 95. And it's been going great ever since then. So I guess we're 18 years this year, about to be starting starting 19. So it's been a lot of fun. I feel very fortunate to be in a business that allows me to work through my passion to make money.
Well, I can honestly tell you, though, I equate it to like being a guitar player, tennis player, football player. There's many thousands of them out there. There's thousands and thousands of charter boat captains out. Very few actually make a living at it. And you've done very well, and rightly so. You actually catch fish. That's unusual. Now, I'm not going to say unusual in a charter boat captain, but, you know, unusual for some, maybe.
Yeah. It's been, you know, a huge learning curve for all of us that have made it as far as, you know, maybe 10 years or more, because you don't really understand in the beginning that being a charter captain isn't all about catching fish. It's definitely the first and foremost, but if you're not a nice guy and don't try to treat people with respect and you know, show everybody.
I'm going to say catching fish is the second part
of
it.
Yeah, I agree.
I tell people that when you're picking a captain, spend a minute on the phone with them and talk to them, because you're stuck on a boat together.
Yes.
And if they're out there with a jerk, I don't care how many fish you're catching, you're going to hate that day.
Yep.
I would rather go out with somebody I really enjoy spending time with, catch a few less fish, and have a good time.
Exactly.
That's the big thing to me is, are you actually going to enjoy spending time with this guy? Now, kind of flipping over, just want to give people a little bit of background about you. Your first time on radio fishing, and poor Rhett walks into Fishing Frank's this morning. He just wants some shrimp. You know, I said, no, you got to sit in the chair. You're going to do a radio interview. He's like, can I order my shrimp first?
Yeah.
So anyway, the one question I always ask is, where would you go and what would you do right now to, you know, if you were just going to take a little boat out and get your family out, where would you go out to have some fun and activity? What fish would be there?
Well, if I was just going to do something like that, I would definitely come to Fishing Frank's first thing and buy myself a big bucket of shrimp.
That's my buddy.
Big ones.
That's my buddy.
Always go to Fishing Frank's first. If you haven't stopped by here on the way to the water, you may be leaving yourself shorthanded. But, you know, get a bucket of shrimp for sure. And you're going to want some lead head jigs or some split shots or both. And if it's not windy, you could head out to a place like the Artificial Reef at Alligator Creek. That place is loaded with fish this time of year, snapper, sheep's head, and big ones. And you may get some grouper and other odds and ends, Spanish mackerel on silver spoons.
Yeah, just south of there towards the middle hole, the mackerel have been just thick.
Cool.
Yeah, really thick right there.
Yeah, that would be a great thing to do on a calm day. And then if it's breezy, just get in places like Alligator Creek or any other creek you can find that's protected from the wind, or even in a PGI canal system or Port Charlotte canals, and just fish those shrimp on the bottom or maybe even under a cork, see which one's working the best. But
usually when I go up in Alligator Creek, I kind of go up past the island and I go around like to the second bend where I can just see the marina, and I'll get up on the inside, and then I put a shrimp and a little split shot, throw it up into the current and just let it drift down, kind of sweep past me.
Yes.
It's hard fishing because it's not like you can just sit and do it. You've got to cast it out and let it kind of drifts down and drifts across in front of you. You got to bring it back in and you keep doing that. But that's how I've always caught my trout there. And those windy days, like you say, that's perfect.
Absolutely. That's a great way to fish no matter what creek you're in or what canal you're in. Just throw up current and let the shrimp drift down current with a small weight on it is a great way to do it.
It's hard because, you know, I used to be a charter boat captain, and you are. And the one thing it's hard to teach people is, okay, we're going to go in turns. Now, you're going to throw up into the current, and then the next one has to go throw up of that because the bait's got to drift down. That's a tough way to go when you're trying to learn it. And, like, if you were eye on there, it's not a big problem because we'll cast up into there. And when yours goes down, you reel it in underneath me, and I'm throwing over the top of you. And it's once you get a rhythm going, it's simple. But it's kind of tough to do, and you know, when you're just not used to it.
It can be. You know, the best thing to do is explain a lot of things like that. As a charter boat captain, especially a new guy, when you get people out and you're moving up to a spot, no matter what kind of fishing you're about to do, it really helps them out, especially if they're on the higher end of novice than experienced, to just explain the scenario. This is what's going on. The fish are going to be over here. The current's coming from this way to that way. This is how we're going to cast. This is how your bait's going to drift. So they can mentally wrap their mind around what they're trying to do first, and instead of casting a rod out for them and just letting them wing it and then having to, you know, get all excited when something goes wrong because they had no idea.
Yeah, because everything gets tangled. It's fishing. I don't care. You ever notice that with fishing line, if you just let it go somewhere, it will tie around stuff where it's impossible to get off. But you sit and tie this most intricate little knot and mess it up just a little bit, and it won't hold.
Oh, yeah.
But all you got to do is, you know, if it just lays on the floor, it will tie around something.
Yes, it's unbelievable. In a knot, you can't get out.
And you can't get the knot out. No, you can pull out, you can do anything. If I could tie knots like the line does itself, I'd be rich. I could put a book out and, you know, everybody would use it.
Absolutely.
But Anyway, so you got a trip today?
Yeah, I'm going to head out down to Burnt Storm Marina. I've got some a man and his wife and his sister-in-law, and I'm looking forward to getting them out because they're wonderful people. Greg Haig and his wife Kim and her sister Chris, they're good people. They appreciate the day for what it is. You know, they don't just go out there to catch lots of fish. If the fishing's great, they love it just as much or if not more, but they always appreciate what's going on around them, the birds, the water, the dolphins.
Shell Harbor's so amazing. If you just spend a minute and look around, I mean, there's so much stuff in Shell Harbor. It always amazes me when I get out there.
Yeah, we're very lucky, man, because, you know, you go to all the other bays up and down the coast of Florida, and they're highly overdeveloped on the coastline. This is the least developed coastline in the three major bays in our area.
Absolutely. And we're just lucky to be here. But, you know, as luck would have it, and I think I hear the music going. Any last thoughts for today to tell the people about, you know, what's your best advice?
The best advice coming into the winter is definitely pay attention to how you feel. Because if you're cold and stove up from the cold and not feeling like you want to move around real quick, the fish feel exactly the same way. So when you get out there and the weather's chilly, the wind's blowing hard, slow everything down because that's how you feel. The fish feel the same way. They're slowed down too. If it's a nice hot sunny day and the water temperature's rising and you feel good and energetic, then work your baits the same way, whether you're using a shrimp or a lure. Just try to watch what's going on.
Excellent advice. Excellent advice. Now, I can hear the music playing in the background. If you'd like to get a hold of Captain Rhett Morris, just click the picture of Captain Rhett holding that big redfish, and it will take you right to his website, and all his information is right there. And so it's simple as that. Just click Rhett's picture, and it'll take you right to it, if I did my job right. And I think I will. But thank you so much for being here, Rhett.
Frank, it's a pleasure to be on the show, and thank you very much for everything you do for our community and having a place like you have for all of us to be here and use in our area to get our baits and everything else we need.
I like it. I like being here. Well, you guys, thanks for listening. This is Fishing Frank and another episode of Radio Fishing. Bye-bye.